Let's do it. Let's do it. Broadcasting from around the world, you're listening to The First 100, a podcast on how founders acquired their first 100 paying customers. Here's your host, Hadi Radwan.
Good to have you on the show, Ron. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me on, Hadi. It's nice to be here.
Thank you for stopping by. Ron Gidron is the co-founder and CEO of Xtype.io, which is a technology company that accelerates software development for large organizations like Zurich Insurance, Heineken, to name a few. You've raised to date around $10.8 million, which is amazing, and you've deployed more than 75,000 deployments. We can go into this a little bit more deeper, but take us back to the founding aha moment. How did you come across Xtype.io?
It's an interesting story. So I've been in the IT space for, I'm going to date myself, for about 30 years. And literally, I spent 10 years in test automation very, very early on, before testing was even a thing. And we already built some automation at a company called Mercury Interactive. And then I spent the next 10 years still in IT in auxiliary technologies that did monitoring, database monitoring, tools that find bottlenecks in things, still before, as the internet was sort of coming of importance. And then I spent the last 10 years or so still in automation in IT, but more in the DevOps space, but not in your traditional open source, you know, DevOps, but in the enterprise. So my two co-founders and I were working on basically applying DevOps to large on-premises systems about 15 years ago, Java, big Java servers and things like that. And we saw the world sort of moving, enterprises moving to enterprise platforms of a new type, Salesforce, ServiceNow, SAP's new thing. And we just realized that that's where a lot of the focus for enterprise are going. And we knew there is a gap, because we knew that when you are developing on a platform, then you're behind a wall. So you gain all the benefits of the platform, but you lose access to a lot of technologies. And we were going to try and bridge that gap. Sounds very easy, but of course, you know, we did three different things before we got to where we are today.
Amazing. Take us back to your first early customers. So how did it start? Who was your first customer? Do you remember them? What was your feeling when you got your first client? And then what strategies or tactics that you started to deploy to land the early 10 customers?
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, I remember our first customer was actually a gaming company. It's a pretty well-known mobile gaming giant called Playtika. Their ServiceNow team, you know, as we were reaching out in the early days, I was basically employing a tactic saying, like, cold outreach on LinkedIn saying, I'm in marketing, not sales. I'm working on this product with my friends. You know, we'd love to get your input. So we basically just invited a whole bunch of people to just give us input. Like, hey, what do you think? We're building this thing. What do you think? And for the first 15 or 20, we were just learning and then building our MVP while we're going. And at some point, you know, the Playtika guy said, wow, you know, this is something we can actually use. And I said, hey, we'd love to let you use it for free if you let us use your systems. And this is how we got access to a first customer. And then the second customer was a company called HP, a little known company, which was kind of the same trick. And using those two, you know, we got an MVP and we knew we had the early basis for actually deploying our software in an enterprise environment. And enterprise environments are notoriously filled with risk and security and all kinds of things and performance things that you get to take care of. So we use those two early customers to get our first paying customer, which is a very public reference for us to this day, Zurich Insurance. Yeah, I remember every single little bit of that.
I mean, you're in the enterprise world, so your sales cycle are quite long. How do you navigate first time? What are the things that would allow you, you know, to be patient enough until you land your first client? What has to work right until you get your first client?
One thing is to know that some of this isn't in your control. You've got to be prepared for this. This may take time, etc. The biggest thing for us was to just focus on the problem and identify the people who had the problem the most. And the way we went about it is we were looking for people who we saw our hiring tons of developers, and specifically in ServiceNow. So we knew they would have a scaling issue, which is, you know, somewhat related to what we were doing, and tried to reach out to those. Also, you have to pick your customers correctly. So in the enterprise world, which we strictly sell to, we focused on a niche, on an ecosystem. And ServiceNow currently has over 8,000 customers, but back then it was, you know, 2,000 less. It was growing. So we knew we were fishing in a small pond. And still within that pond, we were looking for the real innovators, for those customers that we knew are pursue new technologies very aggressively and will forgive a little bit and make good tech critics. So people that really, the ones that gave us the most feedback were the ones that we stuck with. And it turned out to be true. They were also the ones who took the first bets, and we could grow with that.
Give us a little bit of context. So what's the relationship between Xtype and ServiceNow? Are you selling a product built on top of ServiceNow, or are you selling a ServiceNow business?
We're selling a product that sits on top of ServiceNow and helps ServiceNow teams deliver a lot more. So it's a platform engineering solution built specifically for ServiceNow teams. We only sell into, you know, I mean, there's technical and non-technical personas, but we only sell to ServiceNow personas. We work very closely with ServiceNow itself. We're good partners to them. And we help both the customer and ServiceNow solve something that's beneficial for both, basically.
So essentially, does ServiceNow provide you with the leads, or would you need to figure out a certain ICP? And then by chance, if they're working on ServiceNow or they're not working, but you could recommend, then this is your ideal customer profile. How do you find your customers?
So first of all, if you are not a ServiceNow customer, you're not a customer of ours. That is a very special characteristic of an ecosystem company like ours, is that we gave up on the potential to sell to millions of customers, okay, and focused on a niche of thousands of customers, 8,000 customers. But we knew that we are selling something that's very valuable to them, so we could extract a lot of value. Our deals are, they take long. They will take, you know, 4, 6, sometimes 9 months, but they are 6- and 7-figure deals. So would I spend 10 months on a $1 million deal? Absolutely.
Makes a lot of sense. And what have you learned about maybe disadvantages with this approach that you could have changed if you were an outside ecosystem, for example? And what did you learn as well that is an advantageous as well?
Yeah, I think the most critical thing when you play in an ecosystem is to partner with the vendor. Right? Make sure you're aligned 100% with what the vendor does. And what that entails, though, is you have to be convicted enough that what you are doing is not something that the vendor will just eventually do. And this is a fear for a lot of people. Hey, I got this great idea, but it's on someone else's platform. And if I show them this idea, then they will build it. So you need to know what you're doing. So we knew very early on from a business perspective, et cetera. Of course, there's no guarantees. I think that's the most critical thing for success, is to make sure you're aligned, not just with the customer, but also with the vendor. Because, oh, by the way, even when a customer really likes what they see from you, because this is in an ecosystem and for a vendor, they will very naturally turn around and go back to the vendor and say, hey, do you know these guys? Like, do you have plans around this, etc.? So you got to align yourself very well.
Thank you for sharing this. What is the principle that you live by that has served you well on your journey?
Yeah, so I'm an enterprise software guy for the last couple of decades. And there's a book that was written in the 90s called Crossing the Chasm by Geoffrey Moore. And I have lived and still am a very big believer in that book. You know, it's how I approach a market. So if you consider ServiceNow now has 8,000 customers, that means roughly 2.5%, say 200 customers are your innovators. So there's about 200 people out there out of 8,000 that, you know, will actually go with your MVP. And there's probably another, what is 13.5? Let's make it's like another 1,000 and whatever, 1,100, 1,080 customers that are early adopters. But it means that the rest, you know, 6,000 and something, 6,500, they just won't buy from you because you are small. So don't waste your time trying to sell to companies that even if they really love you, they won't because they're laggards. Let me give you some examples. The federal government, they would probably be the biggest customer you could ever go for. They're just not the type of customer that would buy from you. So you're looking for those who are early adopters. And you can find out when you talk to them. I would literally ask them, say, would you buy from a startup? Right? Just literally, just like that. That, to me, is very important to know this, the playing field, to understand the game you're playing, to and make sure that you don't waste your time and waste your efforts.
Amazing. I mean, Jeffrey Moore was a guest on the first 100, episode 62.
He talked really about
disruptive marketing. So thank you for reminding our guest about
that. Shout out. I'm going to go and check it out. He's one of my idols.
Yes, we had that a while back. You've been in the enterprise sales business for a while. What's your sales philosophy early on as a founder? Would you pursue a founder-led sales strategy where you are at the helm getting every client? Or would you focus more on being the visionary, the firefighter, getting things moving, and then getting a CRO from day one? How has your strategy been positioned early on?
Yeah. So again, I'm going to cling to a high persona here, but in 0 to 1, Peter Thiel says this. He says, look, you, as a startup founder, you have 3 jobs. They're consecutive. So job number 1 is you're the product manager, because until you have a product, you got nothing. So nothing else matters. Don't waste your time on cap tables and, you know, org structures and all of that. Just build the product. Focus on the product. You have to be, because that's the only thing that matters. And once you have a product with some early signs of product market fit, our first 2-3 customers, etc., you know the product is right, you know the problem is real and people are using it, but you still don't know how to sell it. So now your job changes. And now you are the VP sales. And I absolutely believe you have to be the VP of sales to figure out how to sell the product. And only after you've hit a good number of customers, when you know the machine kind of works and you have a proper engine, I would say, I don't know, 10 million ARR, whatever that number is, that is like proven product market fit, is when you bring in professional people that are able to not just scale and operationalize the machine, but also hire the right talent, etc. So CRO, you know, global VP of sales or something of that type. And I guess, of course, as CEO, you have a million other jobs, but they're always on the side. So it's just the way it is, right? You're product manager, then you're head of sales, and only then in the end, you're CEO.
Absolutely. When it comes to hiring the right talent, especially on the sales side with enterprise business, it's sometimes hit or miss. What are certain characteristics you look for in sales people when you want them to join your ship?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think the first thing to realize is a little hard is that you need to have the best people around you, and that is probably going to change as you grow. It's a bit of a hard reality, but it is. Like, you're going to have to adjust as you go. I think it's very important in the beginning to focus on what matters. So if you're chasing your first 10 customers, for example, right? Don't get a VP of sales. You're the VP of sales. Get a salesperson. Get as best as you can. And I would not make any bets at that point. So at least in our business, you know, when you sell to an enterprise very early on, I got, you know, some rock star enterprise salespeople who have done enterprise sales. We're talking about 2 people, right? They're expensive comparatively, etc., but very focused on sales and compensated with good commissions to execute those first sales. And then as you scale, at a certain point now, you may have this problem where you've got a great rock star, even salesperson. They're not management, like VP type level. So they're actually in the critical path of the company when you need to grow. So now you have to find a better place and add on top. So I really would not hire ahead of the company's position, meaning don't hire a VP of sales if you don't have a team of 10 people that you need to manage. Just hire salespeople.
Thank you for that advice. That's very helpful. So one of the things I started on this podcast is the previous guest gives a question for you. So our previous guest who's raising a round, he said, if you had some options from multiple VCs and you're raising a seed to a Series A round, what do you look for before you choose which VC to go with?
That one is super critical. So I think business is done between people. So number one is make sure that you really like the person on the other side. I know this is going to sound very old school, but if I were you, and I've done this with my partners who I'm very happy with, it's like, we got to get dinner or we got to get lunch. I want to talk to you. I want to meet face to face before we get into this, before we get into a long-term relationship like that, at the very least. And that is after you've done your due diligence in terms of, you know, other companies that they have invested in. Do they understand your space? I would also ask for references. When you are in a strong position, you should capitalize that and say, hey, can I talk to some previous founders that you've supported and hear what they have to say? It might sound a bit audacious, but it really will help you out. So that's my advice, is remember, this is the human relationship. So especially if they're coming on your board, right? Make sure you like them and make sure they like you back.
Amazing. One last question, Ron. What's next for Xtype?
We have huge ambitions to continue to support. ServiceNow is, I believe it's, as they say, it's turning out to be the defining enterprise software company of the century. So I think that they've just crossed $10 billion. They're going to cross 20, and I think they'll cross 30. So we are very happy to continue to stay in that ecosystem and support the customer base and ServiceNow with the white spaces that we do today. And we have other plans, but not all of them are public yet.
Amazing. Thank you for stopping by. Two more questions. Where can people reach you? Are you hiring?
Yeah, so we are always hiring, and you can just go to our website, xtype.io, look up there. I'm very easy to reach. Just hit me up on LinkedIn. If you can't find my LinkedIn, well, you go to xtype.io, and on the team page, you can find me and just hit me up.
We'll put all of these in the show notes. Again, we wish you the best of luck, Ron. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Hadi. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for listening to the First 100. We hope it inspired you in your journey. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to our podcast on Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Spotify, and share it with a friend starting their entrepreneurship journey. Leave us a 5-star review. Your support will help spread our podcast to more viewers.